wonderful lineup. But in the world of golf this weekend, how Tom Lee shot 8-under to tie Dustin Johnson on the European Tour. 4 eagles and a birdie. Both now 16-under. No one can think of a professional round of golf or otherwise. Four eagles and 3 of them on par 3, on par 4s, like that, and 1 of them on a par 5. How Tom Lee is the player who was penalized last weekend for having his caddy line up his putt. Didn't look like his caddy was lining him up. He kind of walked over and looked and then walked away. The European Tour chief executive took an amazing step, unprecedented, going to the RNAs and saying that the rules officials need to have a little discretion in meeting out this rule. But then look again, this weekend at Waste Management, another player on the PGA Tour is again penalized 2 strokes for having his caddy line him up. Except the caddy was so far away, the player was lined up, the caddy walked away quickly. Then the player took a couple of practice swings and walked away from and then reset himself. So this is very strange. I'm looking forward to talking to a rules official this morning. Alice Dye yesterday, the woman, she created the island green at Sawgrass. She, of course, with Pete Dye, golf course architect, her husband, the two of them, and a two-time USGA champion. She died yesterday at the age of 91. And my guest today, Michael Patrick Shields, Ed Cunningham, Gary Haney, he's the HSGA Rules Committee Chair, Matt Chinella from Golf Channel, and we're starting off with the Aloha Section PGA CEO and Executive Director, Wes Riley, who will tell us first about the people who make this show possible.
What you and what you
smooth ride. They've got 20 cars below 10,000 on sale now. Go see Miguel, Michael. Take care of you. Come to All Star Auto. They're right next to Baratenga. Foodland. That's Star Auto. Aloha Power Equipment. Hawaii's largest power equipment showroom. 2 locations. Honolulu and Waipahu. The Honda EU2200 generator is $200 off the regular price. $1,249 becomes $1,049. A free extended warranty thrown in. That's a $250 value. Aloha Power Equipment. A bubble extraction when it comes to floods, water, or worse, the sewer pipes break or mud inundates your home. Call Oahu Extraction. They'll be on site in 90 minutes. And Hawaii Confinement Center. Looking to downsize or just find out what your family treasures, your koa, your gold, art, fine furnishings are worth. Shop, consign, and design. Don Cook Street, Hawaii Confinement Center. Wes Wailahua, Aloha Section PGA CEO and Executive Director. Welcome to the clubhouse. I'm great, and even on this rainy day, you know, I was just thinking that it's that time of year when the 2019 Old Alvea is going to be next weekend on Saturday. I'll see you next Saturday night. Very, very excited. I'm actually getting a little nervous. The Hawaii Golf Hall of Fame induction of Dean Wilson is happening. The awards that are given out every year to the Teacher of the Year, the Professional of the Year. This is a huge night for Hawaii's golf industry and the PGA professionals.
Absolutely. The Aloha Section PGA Foundation is honored to partner with Friends of Hawaii Charities to do this, to create an industry award ceremony for the golf industry, honoring all of our professionals, but also our top juniors and our top volunteers from the Hawaii State Golf Association and the Golf Course Superintendents Association. I think it's a great way, as part of
Team PGA. He goes, David, since the 80s, you know, I have to tell this story. I did the news and sports as a broadcaster in the 80s when I was working with Michael Cusack and Bill Thompson and the program director guy. Who's David Hsu? We don't cover golf. Sports is, you know, it's like David Hsu is from Hawaii and he's winning on the Japan Tour, and that's a big deal.
Lessons, they're the ones question, but when it is all said and done, I think this is going to be an outstanding opportunity, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for the PGA of America to come together with some really great partners in a city that's very supportive of golf and its growth for the future.
And you're going to have a championship course that could host the Ryder Cup, the PGA Championship. So much could happen, making that little town the center of golf.
Absolutely. And I think in most parts, it would be one direct flight basically to Dallas for almost anyone that needs to get to headquarters or to participate or to be centered in the world of golf, which is the PGA of America. So we're excited about that. We're looking forward to more news coming out in the next year about the move and the groundbreaking for Frisco, Texas.
So not only does the PGA of America help us learn the game, they help grow the game, spreading the word, getting kids into the game, getting women into the game, showing them how much fun it is to play golf, how the camaraderie, just the fun of it. But it's also the business of golf that you support. Did you go to the PGA show?
Of course, every year I'm there. A lot of great products, a lot of interesting new products that I would never have thought of. And my role in the show, there's 41 executive directors like me from different markets, and we manage the business for the PGA of America. We return to the show for meetings and other things. My role is a little bit different. I sit on some national committees. So I'm also engaged with speaking to university students, diversity inclusion committee, and other projects that the PGA asks us to take on to help develop and grow in our markets locally.
That's great. The idea of bringing all of these innovators together, we know the companies are going to be there, like TaylorMade chose not to, but Callaway, Titleist, all the big companies that we hear about. But it's some of these guys who come up with the things that you would have never followed, you know, when you go to the booths where this is an item that I've created in my home, in my basement, in my garage, and I've been spending years making this, bringing it to fruition, and now here I am with my prototype. You know, people want to buy it, but they haven't got the money to make it yet, and it's so exciting to see what business opportunities are there, and the Vision of America creates a showcase for people who would never get a chance to show it off on a level like that. The Aloha section of PGA, I'm talking with Wes Weathergua, he's the executive director and CEO, and the PGA of America and the Aloha section do a lot of things to get people into the game, including Play Golf America, get golf ready. But we've also talked with Augusta National. Oh, don't let me leave out the PGA Junior League. That's fabulous. Who ever thought that there'd be like junior golfers doing what a little leaguers do, little league golf? You know, it's just adorable.
PGA Junior League Golf has been a huge program, and what we're entering our fifth season of Junior League Golf. We have four leagues here on Oahu, two leagues on Maui. We're trying to develop more leagues on the Big Island as well as Kauai. But it's really a fun, social, non-competitive way to get kids on the course and to play in a team setting. And it gets the parents involved and the PGA professional involved. And what it ends up being is we have these island championships, which leads into a state section championship. And from there, that one team will advance on to the regional championship. And Oliver Liquiano from Copley Golf Course took his team last year to Rancho Bernardo in California to play against Southern California, Northern California, and I believe the Southwest section. So it really is a competitive event, and it all wraps up in the desert with National Car Rental being our title sponsor for Junior League Golf.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a great way to get kids engaged. Yeah. As we were talking about Try to Chip and Putt, we're in our seventh season in Try to Chip and Putt, and we do our best to kind of make it an affordable program, so our foundation funds the program, takes it to every island, to allow the kids an opportunity to qualify. Last year, Kate Makoko was the first girl from Hawaii to make it to Augusta National and qualify for that national Dry Chip and Putt final. And we'll be sending one more local girl from Hawaii this year in April. I believe Mia Spira is also going to be going to Hawaii for the girls' 12 to 13 division. And she'll be up there at Augusta National and even up on April 7th.
Wonderful. We're going to have the women's amateur at Augusta National. We're going to have a drive ship at Augusta National. pastors. Opening the doors, it's truly wonderful. Like, you folks open the doors to golf for so many people. Wes Wernergula, alumna section, PGA, Executive Director and CEO. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Mahalo.
We're going to come back. We're going to talk with Matt Janela. He knows Dean Wilson. Dean Wilson's going to be inducted next Saturday evening into the Hawaii Golf Hall of Fame. We'll be back with Matt after this. My name is Daniel Tucker. This is the Golf Club.
Times on the Japan Tour. He won two major championships on the Japan Tour. And then, you know, what he did with Honor. Monica, when she played Colonial and playing with her as a playing partner, the classy, suited, and just the kindness and you know, welcoming factor that he exuded that at that moment at that time in golf history, it's just all real. You know, that's who he is. And I've been fortunate to call him a friend. And I'm very, you know, everybody who knows him would be proud of him for, you know, all of his accomplishments, and certainly a worthy Hall of Famer.
Absolutely. By the way, if you didn't follow the Wishbone Brawl, Dean Wilson and Mike Weir beat Charlie Hoffman and Xander Schauffele using, what were they using?
They used the Lynx Hole Persimmon Woods. Dean Wilson, two-time winner of the Wishbone Brawl. Everybody he plays with wins, and he played well again on the Saturday after Thanksgiving. All in the spirit of charity. It's an amazing event, and Dean really, you know, Dean has got behind Gojo Park and the ongoing sort of renaissance of that municipal and Oceanside with John Asher. He's invested in the golf course. He's out there with his son on a regular basis, you know, and his dog, and, you know, he's really now, you know, besides his professional career, is now putting on, you know, and being the face of municipal golf in Southern California. Is pretty cool.
It is. He's like an ambassador. What's his dog's name? I hear that wherever Dean goes, his dog goes.
I forget.
Yes.
Like a yellow lab.
Beautiful dog. I saw it and I did it. It just went out of my mind. So, we're so looking forward to Dean Wilson being inducted. And there's so much news on the PGA and the European Tour that we just have to get to, because today was an amazing day. Today was an amazing day because last weekend, Hao Tong Li was penalized for his dose for having the caddy line him up. And when I watched the video, I'm like, say what? The caddy maybe out of habit went behind the wicket and then walked away. But it wasn't like he was giving any kind of comfort or you know, yes, you're doing this right. There was no advice given from the caddy. He was there a fraction of a second, almost as I said, a habitual move he made over the years, which he can't do anymore. Then this weekend, or yesterday, Friday, another player on the PGA Tour this time, Denny McCarthy, is penalized for, again, having his caddy line him up. And that was even less. I watched how the caddy walked away. Then the player, Denny, he's lined up, but then he walks away from his stance and then goes back to his stance after a couple of practice strokes. Did any of that look like an infraction of the rule to you?
No. We don't play the same game. We need to bifurcate the rules. The pros need to look like pros, adhering to a professional set of rules. And the amateurs are free to play with those rules if they so desire, but there's this other set of relaxed rules that are there for you that make a ton of sense for the avid amateur or the beginner, and go have fun. cases that we're talking about, it doesn't say, the first one that wasn't deliberate, and the second one, he got out of his stance again and got back in. I mean, it's just crazy. The rules are a real problem, and it seems like, pretty easy fix. Go back to the rules, as stated, with maybe one or two tweaks, and reinstate the professional set of rules and let the amateurs play by this new set of rules. And we can continue to have those conversations at amateur levels as the game continues to evolve. But the pros play by the pro rules.
Good. I like it. Watching the afterburner party, and it's masquerading as a golf tournament. The Thunderbirds are awesome, the way they put this thing together. The race management Phoenix Open, and the Thunderbirds working together. This is going to go on, and we have this incredible leaderboard with Justin Thomas and Ricky Fowler at the top. And again, the crowd is into it. You guys on Golf Channel are watching measure the decibel level of the sounds on 16, and it's noisy, and I'm watching Golf Channel Morning Drive, and I have to shout over the noise to get to the mic. I'm thinking, turn your microphones up. And I heard you say, now that you thought, maybe this has gotten too big. This is too much craziness, and then they need to dial it back.
Well, I mean, again, I love the Waste Management Phoenix Open. I've always said on Mount Rushmore of golf events that you should attend, one time in your life. It's the Masters, it's the Open Championship, it's the Ryder Cup, and it's the Waste Management Phoenix Open, because it is phenomenal and always been a great source of, a transcendent set of eyeballs on the game of golf. Whether you like that or not, that, it is a good party, and who doesn't love a party? It's been growing, and they've raised a ton of money for charity, but 210,000 people, is what they claimed last year on Saturday. And they're jamming into a real pretty condensed, piece of the property, and the pinch points get really out of control and claustrophobic, and you can't get from one place to another, and it gets a little out of control, and it takes one idiot doing something idiotic to cause a real issue, and people can get, trampled, and it could be bad.
Yeah.
So what's the number? I don't know. But 210 teams expected for that area, and when you're in it, if you're ever in it, you have to agree with it, because the 16th is a pretty controlled setting. So that's not really the issue, actually. It's about all that's going on around those stadium seats. That's what I'm actually talking about.
Okay. When you think, all of the stadium holds 50,000.
How about L.A. Coliseum? 110,000 is when they max the capacity. Double that and put them on a stretch of four holes.
And it's amazing that golf can, generate that kind of attendance. But then you add the alcohol into it. I know this morning it couldn't have been much more than 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning, maybe 11. They're waiting for the beer bar to open up. It's like, we need to start consuming alcohol, and that's what they do all day. So, as you said, someone idiot doing something idiotic could definitely cause a problem. Something kind of idiotic happened on the European Tour, and Sergio Garcia was actually disqualified for damaging the greens. He's playing in Saudi Arabia. Do you think all of the, Sergio has a kind of intense personality. We've always known that. He's reactive. But there's been a lot of pressure about just having played there. And the European Tour, this is our first event there. Do you think that may have added the criticism about playing there, may have added to him, the stressors?
Hard to say. I just don't know. I mean, he has always had that in him, and several situations, come up over time. But, and as I think Barry Williams said, one of them drives, we all have, come to assume that petulant, phase of Sergio's, maturation was in the rearview mirror, but apparently it's not.
Yeah, he's a dad, he's a husband, and everybody
things myself and probably done things worse. And you're not proud of it, but it happened.
And he apologized. And he definitely apologized. I mean, certainly he's not proud of it.
No, sure he did. That's Sergio.
Yeah. I love him. I love Sergio.
Phil's still doing Phil stuff. Phil hit a moving ball at the U.S. Open. What's that? He's older than Sergio. So, they're athletes. Playing a game, there's a lot of kid in all of them, and some more than others, and some may never grow out of it.
Yeah. Speaking of growing and getting older, I was shocked. I died an hour ago. I just all of a sudden I hear that Alice passed away yesterday at the age of 91, and I went, What? Alice died? No. In case you don't know, Alice Guy is, of course, the golf architect partner with her husband, Pete Guy. She created, it was her idea to put the island green at Kinkies and Sawgrass, so when you see that, it's a woman bed. A marvelous idea. And she died yesterday. And I saw your post, too. Even though at 91, it was shocking. Yes.
I'm very surprised that I said on Morning Drive today that, the world of golf was well aware that Pete Dye at 92 was not doing well. Not necessarily physically, but mentally. He was suffering from Alzheimer's. And it was Alice who had told me that Pete had definitely done working. That he's having, issues with his memory, and she just told me that in one of our last conversations. So, but Alice has always been the rock, steady as she goes, both physically and mentally, being there, always for Pete Dye over 65 years every night, but especially in the last couple of years. And that was really sad and really shocking.
Yes. Do you know what took her?
I don't. I've heard a few things, and I don't have anything confirmed, so I'd just rather not say.
Yes.
Because I don't know, to be totally honest with you, so I would hate to be wrong with that.
Of course. Absolutely. A wonderful woman. USGA champion. And so gentle and firm at the same time. A marvelous combination of those qualities that make a leader and someone who was able to elevate her husband to a level I don't think he expected to be able to achieve. I think the team of those two pushing each other made them great.
Yeah, it was Pete who asked Alice, do you want to be my partner on building golf course? That was his original pitch to her when he was sort of inspired to get out of the insurance sales business and do something called building golf courses, which really wasn't, a prominent career at that time. They went to Scotland, after 13 years of marriage, they took off and went to Scotland. Pete Dye said they learned that they knew nothing and that they needed to start, following up on what they needed to know. And then they came back and sort of set forth on this path together. And, she definitely made them better. And everybody I talked to, Bill Coore, Bobby Reed, Dean Beeman, everybody knows that, there'd probably be a Pete Dye, without Alistair, but he would not have been a Hall of Famer. But she was the polish.
Wow. What are you going to do to remember Alice Dye?
What am I going to do? I went on this morning and provided quotes from Bobby Reed and Bill Coore, and read a text from Dean Beeman. Bill Coore told me she was the cornerstone of the family, insightful, inspirational, a pioneer. She represented women's equality in golf and architecture, and we're all better because of it. Pete and Alice had an amazing journey, and they did it together. That's famous for golf, not only just for not just for women, but for golf in general. My gosh, and she was an accomplished player. She was classy, great. I think today she was authentic before we even really used the word, before we even knew what it was. You know, she's been authentic. Both of them have for forever, and that's part of why they are the leaders and legends and icons.
Matt Tunnell, thank you so much for being on the show and giving us that. That's a beautiful moment. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, my pleasure. Yeah, I'll just talk to her. She was, you know, any typical conversation, I called with guys, and Alex answered the phone. And if I had 55 minutes with them on the phone, you know, talking about any particular issue or golf course, 45 of those minutes were with Alex, giving me context and insight and recalling, you know, facts and figures. And, you know, she was so amazing. And she watched modern golf, and she stayed relevant. And these guys said that he stayed relevant because of Alice's connection to the modern game and her passion for where it was all going. And then she turned me over to the phone for Pete, you know, with Pete for about 5 or 10 minutes. And that's how he put her back on, and she would ask about my family or the baby. And she was just amazing. She was very motherly. All the architects who ever worked with Pete Dye would say that they welcomed all of them as though they were their family. I mean, she's a true matriarch.
And Alice Dye will be missed. Matt Tunnell, Golf Advisor, Editor-in-Chief, host of Golf Advisor Roundtrip, and Golf Channel's travel expert, host on Morning Drive. His reviews you can find at golfadvisor.com. Thanks so much for being on the show with us this morning.
Always a pleasure, Fred. Thanks for having me.
That's a lot of legends.
Dean Wilson and Alex Dye. So thanks, Dean.
Thank you. Aloha. We're going to come back and we're going to talk with Gary Haney. He's the chair of the Hawaii State Golf Association Rules Committee. Rules official for 14 years. Two-time winner of the Hawaii State Golf Association Volunteer of the Year. After this, my name is Daniel Tucker. This is the Golf Club. Are you looking for a way to get money for your last night because, you know, it was really unusual, probably never happened before. The RNA chief executive, Martin Slumbers, got in touch with the European Tour, or rather the European Tour CEO, Kelly, got in touch with RNA chief Slumbers to say, you know, something's got to be done about this rule that you penalize how Tony Lee to his folks. The guy wasn't really laying, helping line up the body, was just behind him and then walked away. And at least, you know, there's got to be some discretion. And he said, quote, I have spoken personally to RNA chief executive Martin Slumbers to voice my opposition to the fact that there is no discretion available to our referees in relation to this ruling. And I will be making additional representation to the RNA in the near future to discuss the matter further. Okay, so, you know, it's just a little bit strange, and we're having some difficulty, so what we're going to try to do, we're going to try to get our good friend over at Pagayama, bring him in while we straighten out the problems that Gary Haney's having getting in. So I'm going to go back to a commercial real quick while we try to get in touch with Ed Pagayama. So let's take another break, thinking of people who make the show possible. Thankfully, you can, you know, you've got a drop in the knee that makes some people would feel like it was silly because, you know, jumping from the knee and the professionals are, they think it's humbling. But one rule that I think most people thought was important to have in lining up the player, the caddy not being allowed to, is causing some real friction. I just read one of the quotes that we had from the European Tour after Hou Tong Li was penalized. And I think you saw that. He was penalized because his caddy lined him up. It was the official ruling. It didn't look like that. What was your take?
The rule is that once the player begins to take his stance, the caddy has to be on. And one of the items in the interpretation is when standing behind the ball to determine the target line, the player takes a step forward and then turns to turn his or her body and puts a foot in place, he's deemed to be taking a stance. And that was clearly the case with Hou Tong Li. I think the European rule is upset about it, but RNA was adamant that the rule was applied correctly, and as I saw it, I agree with them. I also saw the golf channel, Cam Lee and Nota Begay talking about, you know, he hadn't put the ball down, he hadn't addressed the ball. That's not relevant. It's not relevant to the situation. It comes to the end when they determine to begin taking their stance.
Can you say that again? Because we had a lot of difficulty with the connection. Say it again exactly. Because to me, it looked like the caddy was doing something just out of habit. He wasn't really giving the player any kind of confirmation that he was, you know, in the proper line. So tell us exactly what the rule says.
It says the player does not allow a caddy to deliberately stand behind him when the player begins taking the stance, because aiming at the intended target line is one of the challenges the player must overcome alone. And the definition of beginning to take the stance covers when you're standing behind the ball to determine the target line, the player takes a step forward and then starts to turn his or her body and puts a foot in place for the stroke. And that's what happened with Hou Tong Li. They were looking at it, and he took a step forward and turned his body, and the caddy was starting to hustle out of the way, to his credit, but there was an overlap there, and that was too much.
I see. Okay, so there's a question of the stance, not just, you know, when you take the stance, where is the caddy at that moment? So they're going to have to be very, very, very careful about, you know, making sure the caddy is long away. Now, did you see the, do you have a radio on per chance or anything around you?
No, I do not.
No.
Sorry.
No, it's okay, because we're just trying to figure out where the distortion's coming from. So the next question is, did you see Denny McCarthy? The waste management. He was also penalized 2 strokes on the PGA Tour at waste management because they said his caddy helped him line up. Did you manage to see that one?
I did not. Was that on the green or off of the green?
It was on the green. Yeah, I'm really curious what you would think about that particular lineup, because the caddy was so far away from him and walked away, and the player was lined up as the caddy was leaving, and then the player took a couple of practice strokes. Then he left his stance, and then he came back to his stance to get him on to putt. So it just seemed like, what? The caddy's so far away, he's walked away from his original stance, come back, lined himself up, and he's penalized. Obviously, this is going to take a while. So, as I said, we just need to be patient to let these things play themselves out. And I really want to thank you. Gary Haney is the chairman of the Hawaii State Golf Association Rules Committee, a rules official for 14 years, and a two-time winner of the Hawaii State Golf Association Volunteer of the Year. Never happened before. Two-time winner of the Hawaii State Golf Association Volunteer. relationships. You are, in my estimate, just as professional as the professionals are, except you don't get money from it. So you are, right? But the recreational player, who are elders, like LPGA, Elder Association, formerly EWGA, those girls and guys who play, you know, we're just playing, but we need to know what the rules are. You did a fabulous job.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So, what do you think of the pace of play? Pace of play on the PGA Tour is not something a Brooks Koepka called out Bryson DeChambeau. Without saying Bryson's name, mind you, he said something to the effect that, you know, golf isn't that hard. It shouldn't take you as long as it takes for you to hit a ball. I think people, penalties, it's about time somebody made these guys speed up because I think it affects the amateur game, the recreational game.
One of the changes to the 2019 rules for pace of play is that if you are on the clock, there is no longer a warning given if you have a bad time. The first bad time is a penalty stroke. And as we saw with Lee, you know, a two-stroke penalty in his case cost him about $100,000. And if you're up near the top, a penalty stroke can be, you know, cost you a lot of money.
Cost you a whole lot of money. Yeah.
And, sorry.
No, go ahead, please.
I think the PGA Tour does not advertise when they put people on the clock and what the fines have been, and I think they should. I think that would go a long way towards helping people understand what they're doing or what they're not doing in terms of the pace of play issue.
I think they should advertise a lot more. I think they should actually make it clear to the fellows that, you know, you only have X amount of time. I haven't, frankly, seen anyone on the clock be penalized, have some kind of something happen to them for being penalized. They get upset about it, you know, and they say, well, wait a second, I'm being penalized for this guy. I'm in this group. He's the one who's slow. Why am I being penalized? So where is that problem?
Well, on the PGA Tour, that's not that issue. If you're out of position, which means you're a hole behind or more, and you get put on the clock, you're individually timed. And so it doesn't matter if you're from a personal standpoint, if you're out of position and you time and you don't have a problem with the timing, if every stroke you make is within 40 seconds, then you're not going to have an issue with it anyway. It's when you take beyond 40 seconds, or if you're the first one to play a putt or the first one on a tee box, that sort of thing, you get an extra 10 seconds. But as long as you meet those time constraints, it doesn't matter if you're on the clock. And if your routine is that you only take 30 seconds, you have a little bit of time to reset and go and still make the time constraint.
Yeah.
So it's the ones like Bryce and DeChambeau in particular, and Spieth is another one, and Kevin Na and Ben Crane and a few others that habitually take well in excess of 40 seconds for their normal routine. And they are going to have a hard time making an adjustment, although when you get put on the clock, they do make adjustments. They know how to pick up the pace of play. You know, they can make that adjustment to hit the 40 seconds or better and to not be penalized.
Gary Engie, chair of the Hawaii State Golf Association Rules Committee and rules official for 14 years. I'd like you to be on next week after you've seen the PGA Tour penalty of Jenny McCarthy. And we're going to try to get a better phone connection because there's a lot of disinterference. So we're not hearing you as clearly. So it's, you know, and what you have to say is so important and so insightful, like about the stats that I don't think a lot of people are really paying attention to. So you know where everything starts and where it's supposed to go to, and all the different aspects of the rules that are in place. And so I really thank you for your time, and let's work on that after the show so we can get you hooked in nicely. And thank you for taking your time on this Saturday morning. It's raining. It's, and if it's going to be a thunderstorm or so, and you see lightning or just hear thunder, do get out, get off the golf course, go take cover. Thanks, Gary, for being on the show.
My pleasure. Anytime, Daniel.
Aloha. We're going to come back and talk with Ed Kageyama, founder of Hawaii
actually puts on probably the world's largest amateur golf tournament. And it's there is some history to it, and they've been doing this for a number of years now. And it's a combination of each country sends a representative to the World Championships, and the World Championships travels around the world. The most recent one is going to be next month in Mexico City. And prior to that, it's been in Dubai, it's been in Singapore, Australia, Thailand, all over the world. And so it's a really good first time for them that BMW puts on for the entire world of golf. And so then the U.S. Championship every year is at Pinehurst, and that's usually in the fall. And so we are the only regional qualifier into the U.S. Championship.
Fantastic. Which one? Which Pinehurst course?
We normally play number two. Yeah. Last year we played two and four, and we had to play three rounds. We use course 2 and 4. We use 2 and 6, 2 and 8,
wow.
A couple times with them. But it's usually number 2 that we find. That is my favorite golf course.
Yes, it's a lot of people's favorite golf course. And what a treat, absolutely, to be able to get to the U.S. and then go to the world, BMW. Now, I understand the date is on February 14th on Valentine's Day. That's coming up. You're going to have the kickoff event.
It's May 14th is the kickoff event at the dealership. And then the tournament dates are May 17th and 18th.
Oh, that's interesting because, I'm glad I brought that up. On the email that I got from you, it had February 14th, 17th, and 18th. So we'll have to save the date. The BMW is May 17th to the 18th at Hawaka Lay. Where can we get more information?
I can check your website, bmwhawaii.com. /golf2019.htm.
Okay.
That's all I have. The entry form will be there. The tournament information is there. And everything's online.
I went there to check it out. And when do you expect to have more information?
Very soon. We'll be posting the entry form, very soon.
Excellent. Now, the BMW, what makes it special? You do have a kickoff event, right? First, and kind of a party, a sunset social. Tell us a bit about it.
Yeah, so we always have a kickoff event, and hopefully that when that's like on the poly, we used to do that on the poly end at the highest. Poly over there, on the poly, and it's just really kind of a way for them to get together before the tournament, socialize a little bit, get to know each other. We would have the pairings so people can meet who they're playing with,
yeah,
and those types of things. And so this year, on Oahu, we're doing a kickoff event at the dealership. It's actually a really good setting for an event.
Playing the tournament, and we'll be able to actually see the new Hawaka Lay Country Club, the clubhouse.
Right, so we're excited about that. They Hawaka Lay has been great to work with, and I don't think we'll be the first party event in the clubhouse, but maybe the second or third. And so we're really excited. We actually went down and toured it last week, and it looks phenomenal. It's a beautiful clubhouse. All the fixtures are
is it a white qualifier? Is it only on Oahu?
Yes, it's only on Oahu.
Okay, so folks from the
we have a number of Native Island people flying for the event.
Yeah, folks on, you know, as I did the ID, if they're listening on the Big Island or Maui, Hawaii, Kauai, Oahu. So this is great to have the BMW coming up. And when will the kickoff event give us some dates?
So May 14th, which is a Tuesday, will be the kickoff date. It's a few days before the tournament. And the reason why we did that is because, one, we want people to come out, socialize, and start the evening, get together with people in the tournament. And then we also will be giving away a TGIF, digital registration there at the event before the tournament. And so people can get all that administrative stuff done beforehand, before the tournament, get their TGIF, so that they'll be carried around with them at the golf course. But it's just a really good place for us to all get together and enjoy each other's company before the tournament.
Good. And the tournament is going to start
May 17th.
May 17th. Excellent. Well, you'll have to be on the show again.
It's day before tournament.
Let's say that again.
It's a two-day day before tournament.
Excellent. So you're going to have to be on the show again in the near future so we can talk about the Hawaii Golf Advisors that you founded and what the Hawaii Golf experience is and how people can get in touch with you to create these Hawaii-based golf specializing in customized itineraries. I know a lot of people who listen on the mainland and around the world who would be very interested in finding out how and whom to talk to about making a special trip here. And I'm sure that's what you can do, right?
Exactly. Yeah, we take all the hassle and out of everything, and we know the golf landscape and the island and the things to do, and so that's what we do. We make it easy for everybody.
Ed Kagiyama is the founder of Hawaii Golf Advisors, and he is the tournament director of the BMW, the ultimate golf tournament. We're going to come back after this. Michael Patrick Shields calling in from the, the Atlanta area. It's Super Bowl weekend. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is the Golf Club. We'll be right back.
you start to see some dark clouds, wouldn't it be nice if you could just have a little roof kind of squeeze overhead, keep the rain away and keep on playing? And that's what they have there. It's called the Oculus in the stadium, and it looks like a camera lens opening up and closing. And it's an optical illusion because the panels are actually flying back directly, but it looks like that, like you see in a 007 movie. Super cool place, and it appears, you know, I know they want to open the roof on the weekend, and we'll see what the weather does. It's supposed to rain here, but nevertheless, there will be a Super Bowl, and that will be part of the attraction.
Yes, nevertheless, yes. Who cares if it's raining? I'm going to the Super Bowl. I'm paying $5,000 to go to the Super Bowl. Right? I mean, that's what the ticket price is, aren't they? I actually heard somebody say the other night on television, I think it was Ryan Newsom, said, there are tickets still available. And I thought, boy, they must be expensive.
Well, everything's for sale. Right. Of course, if you have to ask the price,
you can afford it. You are in one of the most beautiful places, again, from Hilton Head to gorgeous Reynolds Lake. Now, you have to show it.
Lake Oconee. It's Reynolds Lake Oconee, and it used to be known as Reynolds Plantation, but it's not cricket to say that anymore, so it's Reynolds Lake Oconee. And when I say lake, that really is kind of an understatement, because if you took all of the coastal Atlantic beach of Georgia, it wouldn't have as much frontage as this lake does. It's huge. It's the biggest lake in Georgia, and so it's full of, therefore, lakefront lots, and therefore, golf on the water, too. And it's the entire resort residential community is about the size, slightly under the size of Manhattan Island.
Wow.
Never know. It's out in the rolling terrain and in the trees, and guess what's only about an hour's drive away? Augusta National Golf Club. So you get similar terrain, and you get just a top-notch resort where you can be close to Augusta if you're going for Masters Week. But even cooler, if you go the week before the Masters, let's say, you can play there. And then the week after is another place you can play. It's down where we talked about last week at Hilton Head. Tour goes there afterwards. So you have two public places. You stay at the Ritz-Carlton there at Reynolds Lake Oconee, or you stay perhaps at Harbortown or Palmetto Dunes in Hilton Head, where you can feel like you're on the PGA Tour and be somewhere very, very special.
I saw the picture of the blazing fire on the patio overlooking the golf course. Is that the golf course lake, or is it the lake?
They have six golf courses. That is a pond on the National Golf Course, it's called. They have a couple by Bob Kopp, and they have Robert Trent Jones Jr. and Jack Nicklaus design Great Waters, which will reopen later this year. Jack, who won six green jackets, and he was just there the week before me, so I just missed him. And everybody told me that he is, even at his age, intensely interested in redesigns of his golf courses or renovation, and he was on that golf cart, he was walking that course, and he was making ground level decisions on his design there called Great Waters.
It's gorgeous. I wanted to step into the picture. I just wanted to sit down at that fire,
yeah,
on the patio, overlook that water. It's beautiful.
I wanted to sit down. I walked into the clubhouse at Great Waters for dinner. That is still open. I said, I want to sit where Jack's at. Right by the fireplace over there. Yeah, that's perfect. And you know what they serve? I've never seen anything like it. We've been talking for almost 20 years, I think, on this program.
Mm-hmm.
They had a crab cake. They called it a colossal crab cake. And the chef said, I was working 10 years to perfect this thing. It is a 16-ounce crab cake. And there are very, very few breadcrumbs. It's mainly crab, egg whites, a bit of mayo, seasoning. And it looks like three hockey pucks stacked on top of each other.
Wow.
Oh, crap.
Did you get it on?
I sure did.
That's delicious. I know what I liked about the golf course tour that you showed, the picture that you had. It was sound. I really like the ground of those golf courses.
Yeah, there's a lot. You know, when you think of Georgia, you might think of it as a flat place, but there's a lot of terrain. And for those of you who've been lucky enough to go to Augusta National on television, it looks flattish, but as you know, it's not like that at all.
No.
The other thing they've been doing now with the terrain that I thought was really cool, I met a guy named Justin Jones, who is working. is if you want to shoot sporting clays, you don't have to have any experience. They have a guy that will take you in a golf cart. And his idea was to make it very much like golf. So he made 20 different stations on a one-mile circuit through the woods. And you go, and each one is a little different. One night you might shoot over water. The other one, the sporting clays are running across on the ground like a rabbit. The other one, they're going through the sky. And he really purposely wanted it to be like golf, so people who come there can relate and try it for the first time. And I thought that was really fascinating. It was very charming. And just like golf, the people who might never otherwise get a chance to be out in nature like that, this gave you the opportunity. So if you stay at the Ritz-Carlton there, you can go and meet the spa and do this really cool experience. And then, oh, by the way, he mentioned to me that he used to teach the royal family to shoot. And he would go to the Queen's Estate at Sandringham.
Oh,
he would be behind the wheel of a Land Rover.
Yes.
Philip would be in the front seat. And he'd be in the back seat with the dogs. And I said, you were in the car with the Queen driving? And you were in the back seat? And he said, I suppose that sounds remarkable, doesn't it?
That does sound remarkable, sir. My goodness. I mean, every time I've seen sporting clays, I have no idea how to call it, what to call that. I've always had two. I'd like to do that sometime. Where would I do that? And now I know where to go. Where do I go?
50% of the people who try it for the first time are women. I witnessed it myself, for what it's worth. And, it's the thing where you say, pull. A disc goes flying through the air as if it were a game bird.
Uh-huh.
And you shoot it. And they take care of everything. You don't have to know anything about it. And this is how good the coaching was. It takes no time at all. I shot, three of the first three poles, and I had no idea what I was doing. I'd never held a gun before.
I never want to shoot at a bird. I don't want to shoot at a bird. Just to be able to shoot at the clay thing, that's great.
Yeah.
And watch it explode. Now, do we have another break? We have one more short break. Michael Patrick Shields, will you stay with me? Because I have something
I'd rather do nothing else.
Oh, thank you so much. We're going to come back with Michael Patrick Shields, travel writer, traveltattler.com. My name is Daniel Sacker. This is the Golf Club. This morning, and I haven't been able to say this because it's just really hard to blow your own horn. Friday, Saturday, next Saturday, and I can have a dog.
Wow. And you must be so honored. That is so fantastic and so well deserved.
I am honored. And I am, the only thing I can think about is how am I going to stand up and talk? I've been to that room watching people get their awards and being so excited for them and seeing them say things, you know, about thanking people and everything. Oh my God, now I'm going to have to stand up. What am I going to say?
I'm not going to remember. How big is that room? How many people you think?
Oh, I don't know. 300, maybe 250. Yeah.
Well, every one of those 350 people already know you because they listen to you, and they have for however many years, more than 15 now.
Really?
Friends already. So don't be nervous about it.
Michael Patrick, I will take your advice. And I think I'm going to start with this.
By the way, I can just say, you know, everybody thinks it's easy to do a radio show. It looks like fun, and it sure sounds like fun. And believe I know because I do one, that you and Rick work hard on this program. And to give up every Saturday morning like that, and to plan ahead, and to organize it, and to pull it off in the way that you do, is not an easy feat. And the magic is that you make it sound easy, and you make it sound fun. And I bet there are many people who listened on their way to the golf course, driving in the car, or whatever it might be, who had a better round that day because they were in a better frame of mind, or they learned a tip, or they just felt good listening to you.
Thank you. Thank you, Michael Patrick Shields. Thank you so much. Really excited. Okay, let's get back to the show. I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for sending that letter. And what you said in the letter just touched me, and you're a very special friend. Thank you.
When you look back at all those years, people are going to ask you this, is there one memory that stands out? You know, other than the one you talked about at the Skins game, was there a moment on air that made it all worthwhile getting up early like that and planning a program on a Saturday?
I think, nothing stands out as that moment stood out. We did the show live from there, and you were there and sitting there. The live broadcasts are often the ones, of course, because you're not in the studio. Some of the funny things that we've overcome to do the show are what stands out. Like, right now, the studios are being rebuilt, and so we're at the transmitter site, and we're sitting in the middle of a concrete bunker, like, and there are babies outside, and we get here, and there's no lights, and there's three gates, and the Pueyo, the owl flies overhead, or we're all the equipment guys, and Rick found a bunch of phones, and put all the people at the guests were holding rotary phones, or the kinds that you punch in, and we can put pictures of people holding phones because all the equipment didn't work. So pulling out the show, that was amazing. Yeah, some of the things that we've managed to do despite everything. I was thinking, because some of the architects, Alice Guy's passing yesterday at 91, that took us so by surprise. And I just thought, if there were any thoughts that you wanted to share with us in the closing.
Everybody may know or may not know that when you watch the Players' Championship in a few weeks, the 17th green will get a lot of attention, the island green, as it always does. And what you may not know is that while Pete Dye gets credit for designing the golf course, it was Mrs. Alice Dye who designed that island green 17th hole because they'd simply been digging, through a swamp to build a golf course. And they were digging and digging, and they had a big hole. And they said, okay, well, we've got to put a hole here somewhere. And as I understand it, to paraphrase, Mrs. Dye said, just leave it a hole, put an island in the middle. And it became, I think, arguably one of the top two or three most famous golf holes in America, if not the world. And it was her idea. So when you watch it, you'll think of her.
Thank you, Alice Dye. Thank you so much for being on the show today, Michael Patrick Shields. You're wonderful. We'll talk next week.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Aloha. Is made possible by the great people at Future Stone, Creative Plumbing, Rainer Doors, and, if you got to go far and you're trapped in traffic, you should get a better car, right? So get on down to Star Auto. Want a smooth ride? They've got 20 cars below $10,000 on sale now. Miguel, Michael, will take care of you. Come to Star Auto. They're right next door to Food Run. team.